God that he would take me away. And, you know, Calgon, take me away. No, this was God. Take me away right now. I'm ready to go. I realized I was sitting there and I'm thinking, what do you do when you're sick? I'm not a very good sick person, just to let you know. First of all, I'm a whiner. And second of all, I don't like to sit still for very long. And so if that means I have to like sit around and do nothing, I have a hard time doing that. But anytime I started to do something, I start feeling sick. So what did I do? Well, I watched Bourne Identity. Anyone ever watched Bourne? Jason Bourne? Yep. I watched, I don't know how many movies there actually are of that, but I think I got through 2 1/4 because the quarter one I fell asleep. So I don't remember. I woke up at the very end, but man, that must have been a really good movie. But I didn't see it, so I'll have to rewatch that one. But I realized one of the things that was popping in my head as I was watching this Jason Bourne movie was that if we as Christians would fight for our identity as much as he fought for his identity, just think the difference that it would make in the world around us today. If we would actually try to find out exactly who we are. The whole concept of this movie over and over and over again is for Jason Bourne trying to find, by the way, he has a great first name, but he's trying to find, his identity. He's trying to find out who he is and where he comes from and his life and all of those things. And yeah, there's some battle scenes and all of those things, and those are really cool, you know, add in the action movie. But at the core of it, all of this is that he's fighting to find out who he is. All joking aside with the movie, one of the things I actually thought of is how often do we actually fight to find out who we really are? We allow life to define who we are instead of us defining who we are supposed to be. When I say us, I don't mean that we can just stand up. See, the world around you will tell you to just stand up again. I'm going to keep repeating this, and you're going to hear this as we go through these series of sermons. But the world around us just tells us, pick who you want to be. Be whatever you want. Define who you want to be. Do you want to define yourself as a woman even though you're a man? That's fine. Go ahead and do it. You want to define yourself as a cat because you're a human? Go ahead. Define yourself as a cat. Be whatever you want to be. But if we would actually spend time and energy and effort into fighting and understanding who we are, who Christ says we are, our lives would be so much in a better place than what it is. The simple truth is that Jesus holds the key to who we really are. And if we really want to know our identity in him, it should be in him. We should be pouring our heart and soul into our life with Christ because it is in him that we find out exactly who we are supposed to be and how we can handle things. I can be honest with you, completely honest with you. Tuesday, the only reason why I got through Tuesday was because I was praying to God. And then I said, God, you either have to take this away or take me away. One of the two. And then what led in from a stomach illness to a migraine, Miss Tanya, I don't know how you do it. I don't know if it was dehydration or what it was, but I had this migraine where I was seeing double, my vision was double, and it was like right here. And I was laying there, and I was thinking, I was by myself, my wife had to go to work, and I was thinking to myself, I have to call an ambulance. That's how bad it was. I mean, my head was just pounding, and I couldn't see. And I'm sitting there, and I'm praying, and I'm going, and I'm thinking to myself, how does anyone who doesn't have Christ get through events like this? You know, the very first thing I did was, I'm scared, I feel this massive pain and this bulging of my eye, I feel like my eye's going to pop out, and who do I go to? I go to Jesus, right? Dear Lord, take this away or take me away, right? Again, asking that prayer. Our identity is not in the activity of who we are. Our identity is in who he says we are. And we have to get past that. The activity of who you say you are. See, the problem of it is many people today say their identity is based in their activities. Are you a person who rides horses, right? We can look back to the Del Savios back there, and we could call them horse riders, right? Are they horse riders? No, they're the Del Savios. They're much more defined than just riding horses. There's more than that, right? Is Corey a guitar player and a worship leader? Yes. Is that what defines him? Is that the only thing he does? No, that's not the only thing he does. He does a lot more to that. There are more things to us as individuals than our activities. The world, though, however, defines our identity based upon activities of who you are. Have you ever been told you're a good person? You know, oh, that so such and such person is such. I was going to tease Pastor Chaz here, but I can't do that, you know. So I'll just say, you know, have you ever been told that you're a good person? Have you ever been told that you're a bad person? Right? Does that identify who you are? Is that who you are the rest of your life? As a child, were you teased? I know I was. But does that identify who I was? No, that doesn't identify who I am. Do your mistakes identify who you are? No, your mistakes do not identify who you are. The world around us will try to base us into those activities, but it's way more than that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. When you get there, give me a hearty amen. Everyone's looking up at me and going, so Pastor Chaz, no one else, listen now. All right, you come to church, you're supposed to bring your Bibles, right? Okay, I know everyone's holding up their phone. Look, I brought my Bible, Pastor. Right? Yeah, very good. Okay, that'll work too. Behind us on the screen, you'll see it as well too. I'm enough giving you guys a hard time about it. But 2 Peter verse 1, 3 through 9. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to be his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the, that sounds weird, like parakeeters, that's what I wanted to say, but I said partakers, well, it is partakers, but never mind, that's... That's all, folks. So that through them you may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Amen. But whew, those are some heavy words there. Them there are some heavy words. So I don't care who you are. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump into those words. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for all that you are doing and all that you have done in our lives. Lord, we still are lifting up to you, our dear friends, the Dunphys, and asking you that you just, again, reach out and touch Kiara. But Father, as we're here today, opening our hearts in worship, may you be pleased with our attempts to praise you, Father. As we open these words, speak to us. Give us an open heart, open eyes, and open ears to hear from you today. Help us to understand who you are and what you would want us to gain from these scriptures today. Remove any hindrances that keep us from hearing from you today. Help us to grasp our true identity in you, Father. And Lord, I ask you, Father, let my words not be my own, but let them truly be your words, Father. Seasoned with your grace and your love and the power of the Holy Spirit, may they speak the change that we need to hear, Father, and open our ears to the things you'd want to say to us. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We find some really interesting things in this verse, and I want to go through this again. Probably won't go through word for word, but we find some things that I think Peter is trying to tell us that is very, very important here. And what we want to understand is, before we jump into those words, what Peter is setting up to us is that our identity, the qualities, the things that we go after, are not based in things that we want. They shouldn't be based in the things that we want, right? Listen, I want M&Ms. Should I always eat M&Ms? No, I shouldn't. And I have to separate myself from that, because otherwise I would not be in the best shape of my life that I am right now. Kidding. But... it's trouble, right? You see a chocolate cake. Some people have steaks. Some people have other problems that they have. Some people have alcohol issues that they can't stay away from. Some people have porn issues that they can't stay away from. You always want these things, but you have to position yourself away from those because they're not always good for you. What God is trying to tell us is that He has given us, Peter is telling us that the Lord has given us His divine power to do these things. His divine power has been granted to us all, things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Let's just stop there for a moment. What did God do when He came to this earth? What did Jesus do when He came to this earth? He came to reconcile us with God. God created us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created us and who we are. Jesus Christ, the great creator, came and created us. And then what happened is we as humans, what do? We screwed it up. We did what we do best. We messed it up. We done messed it all up, as the old Southerners used to say, right? And so what happens is that Jesus came and He reconciled with us a way for us to get back to Him. And so that is why when we sit here and we talk about accepting the life with Jesus Christ, why it's so important is that we are through Jesus Christ being reconciled back to God the Father. It is the only way that we can approach Him. It is why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That wonderful song that we sang just now tells us just about that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way that we can be reconciled back to these things. But when we're reconciled back to God, it's not for a future time. It's right now, right here, right in this place. And so what Peter is saying is that we can have the divine power granted to us to understand this reconciliation, this life, if you will, in Him. He does that why? To His own glory and excellence. Does God love you? Absolutely. But you know what He loves even more? His excellent created being, being an excellent created being. Does that make sense? That was good. I might have to say that again. I can't remember, so I can't do it. No, God loves His excellent created being, being an excellent created being. He wants us to be exactly who He created us to be. And so He reconciles Himself to us. What comes with that? He granted to us the precious and very great promises that through Him we may become partakers, not parakeets, but partakers of the divine nature. He has given you the ability to have the divine nature. When Peter says the divine nature, what he's talking about is not just the nature of the trees and those types of things. He's talking about the order of things, the divine nature, the divine order of life. What he's saying to you and I is that by the power of Jesus, you can partake in the divine nature. Why is that so important? That's so important because if you understand just for a moment the power and the identity that you can control, or that not you can control, but you can have with Jesus, then you could do many things. You wouldn't worry about things that happen in your life. You wouldn't worry about the pain and the suffering and all of those things. Why? Because it is in the divine nature of God and you have the power of those things. Does that mean everything walks smoothly and we walk on streets of gold and roses are all around? No, but it means that when we're traveling through the shadow of the valley of death, we will fear no evil. Why? Because He is with us. His rod and His staff comfort us. With Him, we can be part of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. If you look around you today, what do you see? It doesn't take very long to look around and see some really sinful desires going on around the world. Doesn't take very long to see people that are not living the life that God would want them to live. In fact, you would probably be able to find that right here in this own church with the people that are in here. We're all sinners. We're not perfect. None of us are. The truth of the matter is though, that God gives us these things so that we can escape the corruption of this world. What does that mean? That means that you have the power inside of you. The identity of who Jesus Christ has given and made you. You have the power to overcome the negative and the downside of this world. The desires of this world. You know what? When someone comes to me and says they have a problem with porn or they have a problem with addictions of any type, alcohol, cigarettes, anything like that. The very first thing I want to tell them is that, why? This verse, according to Jesus, according to Peter, says that we have the power given to us by him, granted to us by him, that we can escape the corruption of the world and its sinful desire. So you have the power. Your identity is not in just what you can do with your own hands. Listen, the biggest mistake we make as human beings, and especially, listen, I grew up in a family, Bud and I talk about this all the time. We grew up in a family that you just make it happen, right? If you need to do something, you go out and you make it happen. I don't, you know, whatever. You need this, you're going to make it happen. You go and do it. You find a way. We don't take no for an answer, and we just find a way to make it happen. Even if that means it's going to kill us along the way, right? We're going to do it. That's just who we are. That's the people that's the way our families were raised. That's how we were. We're small town people that were farmers in our nature of who we are. We get down and dirty and we do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the truth of the matter is that this world, we're not alone. Your identity is that you don't have to do all of these things on your own. You don't have, because, or through you, you can be open to what God wants to do in you, and he can come aside you and help you do these things. When you're praying for someone, do you actually pray that God is going to actually heal that person through you? Or do you enter into that conversation and say, God, I really hope you move in Kiara's life? No, I don't pray that way. I'm sorry. And if you do, I wish you would change. Do I know for sure 100% that God is going to heal her? I don't. God prophetically hasn't given me anything on that. But I go before him and I say, Lord, I know you can do this and I'm going to believe in my heart. When you pray for something in your own life, do you pray in that way? Or do you second guess in your mind? The reason why I'm asking you these things is because this is your identity. Your identity isn't in the activity. Your identity is not in the future and the successes or the failures that you have. Your identity has already been set by Jesus, who says that you have the power to escape all of the corruption of this world because of what he has done in you. All you have to do is believe it and accept it and walk in it. He goes on to say something that I absolutely love, but he says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. One of the things that I think we often make a mistake is that we either say, I can do it, thanks God, I got this, I'm going to go do it on my own. I'm able to do it, I have the muscles, I have the power, I can go do it, thanks Lord, I'm going to go do it. Or we make the mistake of saying, nope, God's going to do everything. I'll just sit back and watch God do it, right? I laugh because this past week, my wife and I watched The Jesus Revolution. Anyone ever see that movie yet? It's good. You need to watch it. Wonderful story of Chuck Smith, Lonnie Frisbee, and Greg Lowry. Wonderful preachers from California. They were part of the Jesus Revolution. If you never heard of the Jesus Revolution, it came in the mid to late 60s into the 70s when a ton of hippies got saved. I wish Steve Schmidbauer was here because he would be attesting and saying that's truth. But what happened during the Jesus Revolution is that these hippies were questioning everything. Who we are, we're going to change the world. They believed that they could do this, and they walked in free love and drugs and alcohol and all of this stuff. And what were they doing? They're, in essence, searching for God. And then Lonnie Frisbee comes in, and Lonnie Frisbee actually begins to connect them with God. And they have a relationship with him. The reason why I'm saying all of these things is because what we found out is that in this movie, Jesus Revolution, that it takes more than just a move of God. It takes people who are willing to let God move in them to do these things. That means sometimes you have to ask the hard question, what's stopping God from moving in me? Am I stopping God from seeing my identity? Am I stopping him from moving through me because my identity is based in something that it shouldn't be? Or am I allowing God to move freely through me? We have to ask that question because the reason, Peter says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. It's not just sit around the side and do nothing. No, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to supplement your faith with virtue. What's virtue? Doing the right thing, right? Go out and do the right thing. You have faith. Jesus has given it to you. So guess what? Go and do something with it. Why do we sit here on a Sunday, listen to a pastor preach a message, and then go live our life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday like we never went to church on Sunday? The biggest mistake that you can be, and the biggest, I can't say that from the pulpit. How do I say that, Pastor Chess? You know the biggest, no, I know better. I want to say it in a certain way, but I just don't think it's the right way to say it from the pulpit. No, Jay, I can't. The biggest get lost that you can say to a pastor, and I was going to use two other letters, but I won't say that, is to listen to a pastor preach a message on Sunday and then go live your life differently than what you heard on a Sunday. What's that? I got slang words for that too. Yeah, that's okay. The truth of the matter is that if you sit here on a Sunday and you listen to me preach or Pastor Chaz preach or anyone else preach for that matter, and then you go out in the world on Monday and you live your life differently and you live your life in opposition to what was said on Sunday, then what are you doing? You're basically telling me, but you're more importantly telling God, I don't care what you said because I'm going to live the life I want to live. The reason why this is so important is because God has given you every opportunity to walk in his power. He's given you every opportunity to be identified by who he is. He's given you every opportunity to build your faith with him. And Peter says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. Go out and do something. Build upon what God has given. God has given you the basis. I used as a kid, loved to play with Legos. Anyone still love playing with Legos? I know there's a lot of adults out there that still like to play with Legos, right? I used to love to play with Legos, but one of the weirdest things that my parents ever bought me was a Lego foundation board. I'm like, why do I need that, right? And I was told, well, it's the foundation. It's what you start on. It's what you build everything on. And basically what it was just this big sheet of plastic that you build Legos upon, right? Could never understand that. What God has given to you and I, though, it's kind of like that beginning building blocks. He's giving you that foundation. And he wants you, through the power that he's given to you and that he wants to give to you, is for you to continue to build that foundation up and for that foundation to be stronger. But what you do with it is all totally up to you. Do you just sit there with the Lego box sitting over there corner and look at it and go, nah, it'd be really cool if I could build a house, but I don't do anything. It's really bad when we as Christians look around and we see things that we could be doing, but we don't do them. You know why? Because what Jesus is doing is he's pointing things out to you. Is there someone in your community that can need help? Is there someone that needs prayer for? Is there someone that needs groceries because they're struggling? Is there someone that could use help mowing their yard because their yard is high? Why don't you go and do that? If you just look at it and pass by every day and say, oh, it'd be nice. I wish they would mow their yard, right? Truth of the matter is that God has given you the foundation. Now what you have to do is add to it. And he says, and knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness and steadfastness with godliness. Self-control. Oh. That's a word that's not popular today. The identity of the world around us, the identity of the people around us is not in self-control at all. In fact, they're telling you not to control yourself. That's why we've gotten to the place where people think they're animals and animals think they're people. Oh, wait, I don't know if it works that way. But that's why sexual sins have gotten to the place where they're at today, where grown men are trying to have sex with 7, 6, 5-year-olds. It's disgusting, is what it is. But that self-control is no longer there. It's not there. Your identity is not known in self-control because the world tells you not to control yourself. The world tells you to go do whatever you want. But Jesus is telling you that if you have the foundation and you have the power that he's given to you, guess what? You can have the self-control. You have the self-control to overcome the sin that's in your life. Do you know that? There is no addiction, no sin, nothing in your life that you don't have the power to overcome. You may not choose to overcome that because you would rather wallow in that self-pity or that sin, but you have the power to overcome that if you would just apply the power that Jesus gave to you. So the idea that you can't overcome the sin in your life is not a problem. It's not God's problem. Stop asking God to solve the sin of your life and start walking away from that sin of your life. What you're really doing is trying to solve and cut off the fruit without not cutting out the roots. If you cut the fruit off a tree, guess what's going to happen? Fruit's going to grow again. The only way to get rid of that fruit is to completely cut out the root. Years ago, my wife and I had a grapevine that was completely bad, and what was happening is it had what's called black spot rot. It's a disease that the grapevine gets, and I went to many different places. Everyone sold me different stuff. Oh, this will work, this will work, this will work. And finally, I went and talked to a gentleman, and the gentleman looked at me. He said, the only way to deal with that, rip that plant out, burn it, and plant a new one. I'm like, what? He goes, for the rest of the life of that grapevine, it will have it within its roots. It'll be within the stalk, and the only way to get rid of that is to rip it out and start over. And we had to do that. And it tore me up because this was a 45-year-old grapevine that we had. But the only way we could get rid of it was to rip it out. God wants you to walk in self-control, to walk in steadfastness, to walk in all of these things that lead to godliness. Because with that, guess what comes? Godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. And then Peter says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the biggest complaints I hear is, God, I just don't feel like God's moving in my life, Pastor. Guess what? That's not God's problem. God didn't go away. God didn't move. God is omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. There's not anywhere that you can go today on this earth that it will be away from. There's not anywhere you can go in the whole eternity, in all the universe. There's nowhere you can go that God is not going to be there. And so if God is not moving in your life, why do we blame God for not moving in our life? It's not him. It's us. Let's be really, really honest for a moment here. And half the prayers that we pray when God doesn't move is our prayers asking God to move in our lives. But the real problem is us. It's not him. We're just not moving in the way that we should be. Peter says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing. This is another problem that we see in the church today. How many have become church mushrooms? So that is a polite way of putting it. Church pew mushrooms, right? You come into church, you sit in the same pew, you sit in the same place, as I look around and everyone's sitting in the same seat that they sat in for almost every time they come into church, right? Guess what happens to a mushroom that doesn't get picked, that doesn't get used? Molds. And it shrivels up and melts. It gets really gross. You ever seen a mushroom that grew really, really healthy and then all of a sudden it's there and it's... I have them in my yard recently because it's been raining. But the problem with this is that if you're not increasing in your faith, if you're not challenging yourself to grow, if you're not challenging yourself to do more, if you're not challenging yourself to grow in your relationship with Him, if you're not challenging yourself to go out and reach the world, guess what happens? We become blobs of gross goo that can be used for absolutely nothing, that only stinks. And you have to wipe off your shoe when you step in it, right? Don't become a big glob of glue, whatever. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. Are you nearsighted? Are you so nearsighted that you're blind? Are you here sitting in church thinking that you're such a great person, thinking that everything is wonderful, and thinking that everything with your relationship with God is so great? But in reality, you're so nearsighted that you're blind. Forgotten what has happened to cause your sins, your former sins, to be taken away. See, the truth of the matter is that your identity is not your actions. Identity and action are two different things. Actions are things that we do in our lives. Identity is something that we are. You can't sit here on Sunday and say, just because I come to church, I'm a Christian. Just because a car sits in a garage doesn't make it a NASCAR, right? I used to have a Honda 125 ATV four-wheeler. I got it when I was like 10 or 11 years old, right? Had it all my life. And used to sit in my garage, and for probably 7 or 8 years, it sat in my garage and it didn't work. And someone would say, do you have a four-wheeler? I'd say, no. And then they'd come over to my house and go, there's one right there. I'm like, it doesn't run and it doesn't work. Just because it sat there, it had the body of a four-wheeler, had the tires of a four-wheeler, but it didn't run, so it was no use to me, right? It wasn't until someone put a lot of money and energy and effort, not me, but someone else into that thing to get it to become workable again. That's the only way that it was going to become workable. Just because you come to church on Sunday doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you said the sinner's prayer, if you don't live your life in the way that you're supposed to live your life, it's not for me to judge whether you're a Christian or not. That's up to God. But the reality, the question is if you said the sinner's prayer, but you don't live your life as a Christian, then what are you really doing? Your fruit will show your actions. 2 Peter tells us that he granted all things that pertain to life. There are many things in my life that I know I need to be granted to. I need granted from God. I need your help, Lord. This week, over and over and over again, I asked for that. I won't tell you, I did one of the most redneck thing that I've ever done in my whole entire life, but I won't tell you what it was, but it's okay. It worked. No, it worked. So I don't have to tell you. You won't ever know because it worked. So it was, yes. Absolutely. It can't be truly redneck if duct tape's not there. So, but my identity is more than just that, right? Your identity is more than just the actions of what you do. That's good, bad, or indifference. Last week we talked about these words, and I had you have these words that you had on your sticker, and we talked about those things. Those don't make your identity, but either do your actions. But your actions can point to your identity. Do you understand that? If you're walking in this earth and you're not doing, and if you say, I'm a Christian, but I hate you. I'm a Christian, but then you're stepping over the person who's laying on the side of the street going, I wish they would get a home, right? If you say, I'm a Christian, and then you don't love someone when they need love or help, what's that doing? Do those actions prove who you are? No. But those actions are pointing not towards the cross, they're pointing in a different direction. And we have to be careful about that. We have to understand that. Your calling, your Savior, is too great to allow you to have an identity that is based just on your actions. Do you understand that? God didn't come to this earth just to make you and say, hey, I'm going to come here and I'm going to say, you know, Jesus didn't come down to this earth, die on a cross for you just to make you say, I can be whatever I want to be. No. Why? Because in our human mind, whatever we can dream up and whatever we can come up with is going to pale in comparison to what he has for you. And like what has happened over the course of eternity, humans mess things up. We screw things up. That's what we do. And so our identity becomes in all those things. Look, the world outside of Christ, what is it trying to tell us? It's trying to define who it is. Why is it trying to define who it is? It's trying to define who it is because it has no one saying, this is who you are. And so Jesus comes down and says, this is who you are. But see, the problem and the mistake that we make is that we try to tell Jesus who our identity should be in the way that I want it to be. Lord, I want to be a pastor of a church with 1,000 people where I get a I have a plane and I have a van and I have a pool in the back, right, Jay? That sounds cool, right? I want all of these things. That's what I want. God's, ha, 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 ha. I have a church for you. Has someone named Jay Sisley in it for you. There you go. How about that?
You're welcome.
Just kidding, Jay. I didn't want to tease Pastor Chaz. You know, I'm trying to share a little love here, so I'm spreading it out. Truth of the matter is that God has different ideas. His sovereignty, His beauty, His amazingness is so much greater than us that our calling has to be greater than what it is. Have you ever sat back in life and go, is this it? Is this really what it's all about? Is this the best that this is going to be? Don't do it in front of your wives, husbands. Just saying, okay? You'll get slapped if you say that. Instead, say, this is amazing. This is better than I could ever have imagined it to be. Life with you, honey, is the most amazing thing. So you don't need AI-generated love poems and those sorts of things. Just come to me. I'll give them to you, right? But the truth of the matter is that God has something greater than what we could ever grasp a hold of. I'm so tired of simple, easy thinking Christianity. I really am. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of saying, oh, if you just come to Christ, everything's going to be okay. Guess what? It's not. If you come to Christ, it's only the beginning. If you come, I'm tired of going, oh, if you just had God in your life, guess what? You could overcome anything in your life. Yeah, but you know what? Overcoming things in your life is going to hurt. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be painful. You know why? Because Jesus, in His own words, said, pick up your cross and follow me. What does a cross mean? It means death. And so what Jesus is challenging you to do every single day is to die to yourself. The last time I checked, dying is not fun. It requires a living organism to die. That's not fun. We must understand that our life is not based just in Him or in us. It's based only in Him. That whatever we can imagine under our own power could never be exactly who He would want us to be because He is so much greater. That's what I believe Peter is trying to tell us. Your limitations and your imperfections are not your identity. This is the other thing that we have to understand. Any imperfections that you have, any limitations, any of those things are not who you are. God has much more in store for you than what you think you can achieve. You are not based upon your knowledge. Your identity is not based only on your power. Your identity is not just based on your limitations. Your identity is not based in your knowledge and all those things. And thank God, because I don't know nearly as much as what I need to know. And I'm so thankful for that because God can grant me those power under Him, under these divine nature that Peter has promised to us that you can achieve whatever you need to achieve. Whatever you're facing today, you can overcome it with the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to have slip-ups. Sometimes you're going to have falls. Sometimes you're going to have pain. Sometimes you're going to have suffering. Sometimes you're going to have those things. But guess what? You can make it through it and you can overcome those things because He's with you. All you have to be is willing to go through those journeys and understand that your limitations and your perfections are not who you are. It's not your identity. See, today you have been called to be a history maker, a world changer. You're royal, you're chosen, you're beautiful, you are exactly who you need to be. And all you have to do is accept that from Jesus. All you have to do is say, God, I want to be who you say I want to be. I forget who wrote this book, but there's a book called Dangerous Prayers I've been reading. It's a pastor. I want to say Mark Batterson, but I don't think it's him. Someone look it up. Corey, look it up for me real quickly because it's going to drive me nuts. Dangerous Prayers. Anyway, in the book it says, are you willing to pray a prayer that's more than just, God, please bless me? Right? Sometimes we have to pray to ask God to search me. Sometimes we got to pray to ask God to change me. Sometimes we got to ask God to do a work inside of me. Craig Gersel, thank you. Why did I not know that? That's just who we listened to this week. In this idea here is that in order for us to be everything that God wants us to be, guess what you have to do? You have to be willing to allow him to touch every area of your life. God, search me. Change me where I need to be changed. I don't care if it hurts. Jay and I used to laugh and joke all the time about praying for patience. Don't ask. Don't pray for patience, because God's going to give you a reason to have patience, right? And I listen, nothing about that, Jay. I appreciate, and I still feel that way, right? But the truth of the matter is that we should be willingly accepting and asking for those prayers. I mean, we joke all the time about this, but the reality is that God, if I need patience, bring it. If I have a lying tongue inside me that needs to be cut out, come and cut it out. If I have a sinful nature that's inside my heart that I need to be plucked out, drug out, and shared in front of everyone, do it. Do whatever you need to do inside of me so that I can become who you have called me to be. That's the important part here. That's what God is asking you to do. Truth of the matter is an identity that matters, or one that is comfortable, is not a good identity at all. The world around you will tell you to wait and have your identity be in what you want it to be. God's idea of identity is to become like him. If we're going to become like Christ, how do we do that? We die to ourselves. We go freely to the cross of life, and we become crucified on that cross for the love of others. You know why Jesus was only beaten 39 times? I'm sorry? I still didn't hear you, I'm sorry. Yeah, the 40th time would have killed him. The Roman soldiers knew exactly that on 40 lashes, that was the death blow. How do you think they knew that? They had done it, right? And so when it came to Jesus, they knew they wanted to cause the ultimate amount of pain and suffering. They wanted to do all that they could to cause this pain and suffering to be upon him. And so what do? They begin to whip him. And they whip him 39 times with the cat of nine tails. Is that what it's called? If you don't know what that is, basically it's a whip. And on the end of the whip is nine little leather things. And inside each one of those are rocks, glass, shells, anything that's basically could rip. And what happens is that as they would whip his back, those glass and those stones and those things would embed in his back, and then they would pull it out, and it would be like a cat scratching the back of the person's. And they knew over and over. I must be preaching really well because my exercise goal just got filled. Wow! I need to preach every day. That's a bad transition. I'm sorry, Lord. I was right in the middle of making a great point. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus took that penalty. Do you think he wanted to do that? No, he didn't. He was human. He was fully human. And so he knew, but he knew who his identity was. And he knew what he had to do. And so he freely took those things, those whips, those things, those ugly pain and suffering on his back, and then walked to the hill of Golgotha so that he could be hung on a cross for you and I. See, our identity in Jesus Christ, listen, our identity in Jesus Christ doesn't guarantee us a wonderful life. I love the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I can't wait to watch it again. I will probably wait until we get a little closer to Christmas, Miss Tanya, but I love that movie. But you know what? It doesn't always work out wonderfully. But that doesn't change what it is. Man, what a downer, right? What a downer of a sermon. No, the truth of the matter is that the wonderful thing about all of this is that we have God with us, walking us through it. So it is a wonderful life. The wonderful life part of it isn't that we're going to wake up from amnesia one day and find everything back to normal the way that it was before we got into this car accident. The wonderful thing about it is that I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death because I don't need to fear, because I have him who's with me. And his staff and his rod will do what? Comfort me. Do you know what a staff and a rod does to a sheep? Chaz, come up here. Let me use that cane for a moment. Oh, wait, I'm kidding. Miss Tanya does that. I've seen her do that before. Her cane is her staff and her rod, and it comforts Pastor Chaz. Just kidding, it doesn't. But a staff and a rod is used to correct, right? See, the problem with this, and I'm leading to a point, and I want to get to this point now. I'm going to ask the worship team to be prepared. I'm not ready yet, but just coming close. The point I want to make is this. In life, there comes a moment, there comes moments in our lives where we got to decide what our life is going to be. Am I going to allow my identity to be based in Christ, or am I going to allow my identity to be based in something else? Am I going to allow the hurts, the scars, the open wounds that are all over me? Am I going to allow those things to remain open, or am I going to take some time and I'm going to go to CR and I'm going to go to other places? I'm going to seek out healing for those scars, and I'm going to heal those scars, and I'm going to heal those wounds that are there. Am I going to look at my dreams and say, this dream has to die because it's not based in Christ? Or this dream I have to go hard after because it is. Basically, God is asking for you and saying, this is the time for us to find exactly who you have become. Who are you today? Take inventory. Take a step back. One of my favorite things to personally do is to just take a moment, look back and say, am I who I need to be? How am I doing in my walk with Christ? How am I doing with my wife? How am I doing with my kids? How am I doing with the church? How am I doing with all of these things? And ask the real hard questions. Have I done enough? Am I where I need to be? Because when you find those things out, what you can find is the road signs that point you to where you need to be. Going to ask the worship team to come now, please. An identity that matters, or one that is comfortable, that's the question I want to ask you. And as the worship team comes up, I want to pause for a moment and tell you something. I want to apologize. Because over the last few years, I've kind of forgotten this. Gotten a little comfortable in my identity of who I am. I've been challenged challenged myself. I've been challenged you enough. I was comfortable. I liked where I was at. I like our church. I do. Do I like not having our own church building? No, I don't. But I like the people that's inside our church. I like the people. I like the ministry that we have been doing. But you know what? What has happened is that when we don't challenge ourselves to grow more, when we don't challenge ourselves to do more, then we become stagnant. And you can't drink stagnant water. And so what I want to challenge you today, as I've challenged myself, is that our identity has to be more than just us as individuals. It has to be more than just our hurt, our harm, our scars that we have from past events. It has to be more than our successes that we've had in the past. Listen, no one likes to talk more about our successes than a pastor of a church who has successes. Let me tell you that right now. We live on those successes. But guess what? Successes are past. That's past tense. Something that has happened in the past. And it's not that we don't celebrate those things. We should. But there's so much more than being just the same that we always were. There's so much more than just being the mom or dad that you are. There's so much more than just being the grandpa or grandma that you are. It's so much more than being the young man that you are. There's so much more to life than just that. Our ability is not limited to any of these things that we have achieved in our past. Our ability is not limited to the things and the power and the people that we have here in this place right now. I still believe that we are called to be a church that can reach young people. It's hard for me to stand up here and say this because our youth group is not very good right now. But I believe that we're called to be a church with an amazing youth group that's growing, that's reaching the schools of Ravenna and Richtown and surrounding areas. I believe that we're still called to have our own place. I believe that we're called to change communities. And when I say change communities, I believe still today that God has called us to reach every single person of Richtown, Ravenna, and surrounding areas. I believe somehow God's going to use this church to do those things. Why? Because my identity is not in the past of what we've done. Have we made mistakes in the past? Absolutely we have. Give me about 3 days. And I could still have 3 days more to give you about the mistakes we've made. Have we had successes? Absolutely we have. I look at every single one of you and think of all the successes we have. But is that who we really are? No, we're not. Yes, a little bit. A little bit of all of you is who we are today. But that's not exactly who we are. Because God, I believe, wants to do more than just make us comfortable. He wants to challenge us to challenge ourselves. And it starts with saying, Lord, search me. Tell me what's stopping me from fulfilling everything that you have for me in my life. And then pluck it out, Lord. Cut the eye out if the eye needs to be cut out. Cut off the hand if the hand needs to be cut off. Take out whatever needs to be taken out. That's not a fun prayer, let me tell you, but it's a needed prayer. And my challenge to you and my challenge to myself and my challenge to us as a church is that, yes, a small little church in Podunk, Portage County can really change the world. We can. God's done it before with much smaller groups than just us. And he can still do it today. But in order for us to do that, we as individuals have to understand that our sins are not what make us who we are. Our jobs aren't who we are. Our personalities aren't who we are. It's Jesus Christ is who we are. In him, through him, with the power that he gives to us, we have the divine nature, the divine ability to do amazing things. Will we falter? Yes. Will we make mistakes again in the future? Yes. But those will just be stepping stones to what God wants to do in the future for us and through us. But it starts with you and I coming to an idea of saying, I want to change the world. Being ready to allow God to first change me before I can change the world. Will you stand with me, please? Our identity is not in our sin. Our identity is not in our lives. Our identity is in our Savior. He's the one who dictates to us who we should be, what we should be, and what we do. We have to come to a point where we have to tell ourselves, I am ready to do more than what I have done today. I want to challenge you today because I think many of you are like me. You're in a comfortable place in your life. Life is comfortable. I make a good living. I have a good job. I have a good house. What if it isn't about that? What if God wants to do so much greater inside of you than just having a comfortable house with good kids or a good job? What if he wants to do way more than that? What if this suffering, this pain, and these things that you're struggling with today are God's way of trying to grab a hold of you and say, wake up and see exactly who you are in me. God's trying to get your attention to say, stop being comfortable and start challenging yourself to be more. What if God is trying to reach out and say, I want you, the vision that I have for you, the ideas that I want you to achieve, the things that I want to bless you with are so much greater than what you could ever grasp a hold of. But the very first thing that you have to do is get out of the way. What if God wants to do all of these things in your life? And instead, you're back here saying, I'm a Christian because I go to church every Sunday. Or I read the Bible. Those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those things, and you should. Pray to God that you come to church again next Sunday. But the reality of it is, it's much more than that. We have to ask Him to search us, to remove from us those things that are keeping us from understanding our identity in Him and becoming all that He has for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We just apologize for being comfortable. I apologize for being comfortable, Father. I come before you, Father. I'm the chief sinner here. I'm preaching this message and I'm preaching to myself, but I'm sitting here saying, Lord, forgive me for being comfortable. Forgive me for resting on my laurels, resting on the things that we have done in the past, resting on the things that we are achieving today, instead of challenging myself and challenging the church to grow. Lord, may you challenge us in this place to help us to grow closer to you. Open our hearts, search us, Father. Look inside of us and remove and pluck away what needs to be removed, Father. Yes, it may hurt. Yes, it may not be fun, but we know that you'll be with us every step of the way. And so, Father, we say, here I am. Search me. Come before me and change who I am. Make my identity your identity. Not the scars, not the hurts, not the successes, not the dreams, not the visions of the things of the past, but who you would say that I am. Let that become my identity. Lord, there may be many here today that are facing and feeling the same way. And I just ask you, Lord, in this place that you would search our hearts, that you begin to speak now, even to them, about coming to you and letting go of all of these things. Help us to follow you, Father. Lord, there may be some that are here that have never given their life to you, that have never accepted you as Savior. May today be that day where they say, as Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and I ask him into my heart, then we shall have everlasting eternal life. That starts with repenting and turning away. If I confess with my mouth the sins of my life, I confess those sins to you, Lord. Forgive me for the sins of my life. Come into my heart. May I have everlasting, eternal life with you. Help us today, Lord, to deal with these things. In the midst of the world that we're in, we need people who are identified as true 100% Christ believers who are going to change the world around us. May we be those people, Father. May I be that person, Father. Search me, change me, do what you must so that I can follow you. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
For my waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on. I depend on for the sun to rise, for my sleeping eyes. I depend on. I depend on you. You're the I'm following, I depend on you. I depend on you for the victories still in front of me. I depend on you. I
Lord, we thank you that we can depend on you for all things. Father, help us today as we leave this place to go out into the communities around us, sharing the love that you have given to us, finding out who we truly are in you, walking in the power of the divine nature, with the ability and the responsibilities to do all things that you have granted to us. Lord, remember, we ask, that you would just help us to be who you have called us to be. The promises that you have given to us, that our identity can be truly locked in you. Help us, Father, as we face the issues of this world, to remind ourselves that there's much more to life than just what we're going through here. That we have a Savior who walks hand in hand with us through all things. Lord, we lift up again Kiara and Linda and Bill and the rest of the family, Father, that you would just bless them. Again, healing, we're asking, Father, believing that you can do that, that you can heal her. Praise you, we glorify you, we honor you, we thank you for all these things, all that you have done and all that you will do. Help us to go forth from here being blessed by you, and the only way that we can receive that blessing is the way that you give it to us, Father, so that we can in turn be a blessing to others. Help us to be the difference makers, the world changers that you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all, have a wonderful week. We hope to see you again next week.